It is, if you're listening to the trigger warning, this is the Freedom Freens Variety Hour broadcasting from Podbay 2A.
Freens,
a mile above sea level. And you can like the Prairie Studios in the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. Or turning your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves.
I feel it.
Are you feeling it? I'm feeling it, Michael.
I am feeling it. I'm feeling it more than that member of the Bitcoin dev team, but I digress. This show is covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except Lisa DeLascio. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm not going to go there. Well, maybe I will, but it'll be like the end of the show, so she can listen the whole show. So all the people, there's like a little group of people that are literally sitting in the same room on the East Coast, eating popcorn and waiting for me to say horrible things. And I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to disappoint y'all. Although I did get called a Fed today because I don't like because I complain when people don't do what they say they'll do. But speaking of people who are in positions they shouldn't be in, not me, people I'm talking about.
Who do you want to complain
about? This guy. I want to complain about this guy from the Bitcoin Core team. What's his name?
Yeah, his name is Luke. Oh, let's look this up here.
Luke, I'm
Luke
better than
Dash
you.
Junior.
Luke Dash. He's got Dash in his name, and he works for Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's, you know, D-A-S-H-J-R. It looks like Dash Jr. Or Jeshur. Or maybe that is an actual Mongolian name. Dashir.
Is he Mongolian?
He does not look Mongolian. He looks pretty, I don't know, Slavic?
Is he of the tribe, like you? I think he's of the tribe.
He looks like he's got that
You're
tribe
like,
beard.
I'm not of a tribe.
Yeah. Yep. Kind of a mixed thing, you know. That's the way it goes.
I know. Who's not these days? I mean, I'd like
Who's
to,
the purebred? Oh, we can go to the purebred.
Well, there's go ahead.
This whole island
you live in Hawaii. Everyone except you, what do they call the white people? There's a name for them. The mean
Howlies.
Name. What is it?
Howlies? Yeah, like
Howlies.
Without breath. Hey, ole.
Is that what that means? What's that mean? Ole. They can't walk up the mountain easy?
It means that when they met the first white people that they ever saw long ago,
they were out of breath.
They didn't really like come head to head and really like breathe together and do that close in hug, like nose to nose kind of thing, you know. And therefore,
they stood back.
They stood back. They were like, no.
They were standoffish, literally.
Kinda, yeah. So they had no breath in them. How ole. No breath, no. Literally.
Breath, no. No thanks, I'm good. I brought my own. I usually do bring my own, but yeah.
Today's Hawaiian Minute was brought to you by Daryl Becker.
Okay, so this guy who may be Eastern European of the tribe, but a white boy who's a Catholic, who likes telling people what to do and mixing it with his Bitcoin. So go ahead.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
So go ahead.
So, well, basically what I'm saying is...
You saw what he said.
I got sick of fighting with people that owed me things that belonged to me that were being flaky. So I decided to get in a fight with the head of Bitcoin, the president of Bitcoin. No, one of the main, like, one of the six Bitcoin people that run the world, basically. So it's not really decentralized. It's run by, like, three mining pools, and they hire these six or seven programmers that... what do? They try to keep it expensive, basically. Like they have a plan that's very divergent from Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper, which was basically his idea was that you'd always be able to buy a cup of coffee with Bitcoin. It would confirm it within 10 minutes. It would show immediately, and it would cost, you know, pennies to send the transaction. And what the Bitcoin core devs have turned it into at the behest of some mining pools, allegedly, is they want it to be like a bank. You know, you don't ever buy things with it. You just buy Bitcoin and watch it go up. So Bitcoin Cash came along, which was true to Satoshi's vision. Everyone said, that's never going to work. And it's up to what? 1600 after just appearing out of thin air? Good. That's the real Bitcoin, man.
The real
Bitcoin's
Bitcoin.
At what? $9,000 now or something?
I'll run 97. What's that ticker saying over there?
It's going to hit 10,000 during this show, probably. maybe.
Yeah, very likely.
Yeah. So what happened? So I got in an argument with this guy because he was basically for having opinions. Only I get to have opinions. No, here's what I think. I think if you're running something as important, I think Satoshi was right to be anonymous. And my plan these days is to be anonymous with anything except the things I'm doing already, like the Fiends and Biptunia and, you know, a few of my blogs and stuff. Like if I start a new project or a software project or something, you're never going to know it's me. Even if it does not make money. Like, I've thought my whole life, like, I don't care if it makes money. I just want credit for it. And I'm kind of to the point now where I feel like if it just happens and I can say to myself and my cats and my wife, I did that, that's enough. You know, I still have a healthy ego. I mean, the name of the show is going to be, if your band didn't break up because of someone's ego, you weren't very good, which is true. But
yeah. So many co-hosts.
You know, my band broke up because of drugs, but basically because my ego wouldn't let me stop doing hard drugs. It's all about the ego. And a band where there aren't conflicting egos happening is not usually a good band. Like, think of bands where members punched each other. The Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Pink Floyd. They didn't all punch each other, but they hated each other at various times. So that's what conflict is, the essence of drama and good music, but not good freedom fiends. So the bad freedom fiends with the leftist inklings who act like leftists when they owe somebody something and go, I don't know, I'll get around to it. Or like someone asked me, what do you need it for? If I want to set it on fire, that's okay. You know, doesn't matter what I need it for. It's mine. But, oh, I do want to say that I gave Daryl, you, when you started the show, I lent you a microphone and some headphones and a mic stand. I think I spent 45, cool. like 80 wait, bucks wait, wait, on
wait,
them, maybe.
Wait a second.
Or did you buy them? Did you buy them? Did you buy something?
You sent me headphones and a cable, of which I'm very grateful for. But oh, no, I own my own mic.
You bought the mic? Okay.
I bought my own mic.
I can't remember. Well, it's not me.
Long before I was a fiend, I got my own mic.
It's not me trying to. Oh, I remember that. I'm not trying to take credit for something I didn't do. I have just lent out and given away somewhere between 20 and 25 mics over the past 5 or 6 years. So I don't really remember. I basically trust people to remember. And tell me, you know, oh, I'm done with this here. That headphone and whatever I sent you is yours to keep. I'm never going to ask for it back because I don't want to go through the friend-losing experience of trying to get things back from people. And I'm also giving John Vibes a computer. And it's on record here on the blockchain that is the Freedom Fiends.
John Vibes is the Freedom Fiends co-host?
You didn't know that? Man,
I
that's what happens when you only do one set day a week. You don't even know who else on the show. You don't know who's on, and you don't know who got fired this week, do you? Three people are gone.
I think I kept track of two of the fiendly departed, so I'm keeping track.
We're only going to say Lisa's name. We're not going to say the other ones, because I still kind of like the other ones. Although she's going to say, it's because you hate men. But, you know. I don't hate
you
women.
Know, we're going for full diversity here at Freedom Fiends. Women. So, if you are a minority, you too can apply, right? Is that what you wanted?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, blacks and women and gays and Jews, anyone basically except Muslims, are welcome to help me and you help us throw communists out of helicopters. We are equal opportunity, unpaid employers here. So, come on down. Ladies, Jews, blacks, gays, and not Muslims. And you can help us. What? I don't want to be around Muslims.
It's very precise.
I hate Islam. I don't mind Muslims. I mean, I don't. Put it this way. A lot of radio hosts who say, I hate Muslims. You know, I don't hate Muslims. I really hate Islam. And I do not want people to randomly attack Muslims. I do not want people, I don't want, you know, a million of them coming here and dropped on welfare. I don't think that's a good idea. You know, here's the thing, like, I will say this about Lisa. Lisa Delascio, I can read all your posts. You think they're secret, but I can read it, and I can read everyone that's talking about me, including that weird chick that said I'm a Fed. But and a lot of those people were saying, like, you know, it was that thing of like, oh, you go, girl. You know, like, when girls stick together and, like, you know, they don't even, they take your girl's side no matter what happened. And that is that. Okay. And then it was a bunch of dudes, they're like thirsty dudes, white knighting, like, oh, baby. And then there were like five people who were saying that I'd become alt-right. And so they'd blocked me a long time ago. But I went and blocked all those losers because they're all communists. But here's the thing about the alt-right. I read something today that said this. I can't remember. I can't attribute it because I can't remember the person's name. But I think this makes a lot of sense. So the thing that the alt-right gets right, and there's people already who are just going to turn off and go like, okay, he's horrible, or keep listening like, ooh, what can I find out that he's going to say that's horrible? But the thing about the alt-right that's right, there's things wrong about them. But the thing that's right about them is that they recognize the left in America. They really recognize what it is. Leftist libertarians don't. They're inclusive. They're like, oh, that's our friends. And, you know, a lot of them are like, oh, we need to include them and they'll eventually come our way. No, the real hardcore leftists want you dead. And the alt-right recognizes that if those people, the true hardcore leftists, you know, the Antifa all the way up through the college professors who, you know, secretly support the Antifa, the hardcore leftists, if they ever get nearly full control of the legal system in this country, we're all dead. Not just you and me, but like every conservative, every libertarian, everybody, you know, they will make hate speech, what they call hate speech, they will make a felony. They will make owning any weapon a felony. And, you know, a lot of like gun-stroking constitutionalists are like, I don't care. I'm ready for the revolution. Really? Do you want to see a bunch of your family members die in front of you? No. So I really think that the left must be stopped at every turn. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm not into that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I won't do it. But go on.
Are you sure? I'm very pro gun stroking constitutionalist, by the way. But
are you?
As far as the Well, I mean,
are
as far
pro
as
constitutionalist.
No, I mean, I'm saying I'm fine with them, like with their.
Oh,
fantasies.
I support them. I'm fine with it too. And you know, put it this way, they're probably less likely to shoot me or hit me over the head with a brick than leftists when the poop hits the fan.
Yeah, they wouldn't want it.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Besides, I'm kind of out of the way, you know? I'm over here on an island.
Well, there's a lot of people on welfare and meth there, too, though.
There are. That's a big problem here. How'd you know?
Meth and welfare? Because I see Dog the Bounty Hunter, and I knew a friend that lived on the beach there.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to that soon. Just, that was like a little foreshadowing.
Friends, chasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
So go ahead.
My voice is on the show.
Say something. Oh. Every show. Every half hour you have to be on something.
Every half hour. So what we recently were looking at was this big thread on Twitter.
Luke Jr.
Luke-Jr., apparently. And he's certainly going on about various...
Bitcoin Core guy.
Yeah, Bitcoin Core kind of stuff. And then he goes... you start to engage with him about this, where you say...
Well, no, go back. Go back to, like... Because there's a whole, like... This has gone viral, the thing I reacted to. Like, everyone's talking about that. And I was like, I'm going to go say something's... Yeah, yeah.
Abortion should be prosecuted like any other murder. However, that doesn't mean I am obliged to pay my taxes.
Yeah, he said that. So and that's not his first post about why everyone needs to pay their taxes. He said a few days ago, taxation is not theft. It helps pay for blah, blah, blah. This is one of the guys in charge of like the decentralized money that Satoshi built to like not even take down the government, but completely sidestep it and make it irrelevant. Kind of like, as Nima Vedati said, you know, we can all only hope that in a few years, the government will be like MySpace, 500 million registered users and no one's logged in for 5 years. So,
wow.
Yeah. So he was this Luke Jr. Bitcoin dev guy, one of the guys running Bitcoin into the ground. Now you could say it's up to 9,000. It's not running into the ground, but it's broken. I really think that in a year or two, Bitcoin Cash is going to be worth a lot more than Bitcoin. I sold all my Bitcoin and bought Bitcoin Cash. Although I still have what last week or 2 weeks ago was $5 worth of Bitcoin. I'm actually thinking that maybe in 10 years, I'll be able to buy a house with that amount of Bitcoin. But then
whoa, so
the fee will be as much as a car. So
over here, I was betting that you traded your Bitcoin for Bitcoin Cash when Bitcoin Cash was in the 11s. And that was where I threw down. But over the other person said that you traded in when Bitcoin Cash was in the 900s.
Is this a joke or is this something, a conversation you actually had with somebody?
This is over here. I got people. I live here.
Oh,
we talk coin all the time.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Person.
Oh, I don't know when I did it. I did it last month or so. But so basically this guy is making big waves by like having big, stupid, loud opinions that, I mean, I don't really think the abortion thing says anything here or there about Bitcoin. The guy's a Catholic, so he has an opinion. It's funny because at one point in this thread, after I'd irked them all, one of them posted a video and said, like, what do you think about this idea of Catholicism and libertarianism? And it was like, it was my Freedom Fiends co-host, Randy England. And I was like, I know that guy. He's my co-host. But by then, they'd both blocked me and didn't see it. So, and I said, I made it clear, like, and, you know, Randy and I don't co-sign everything we say, you know, because I didn't want him to think he co-signed me and what I was saying and yelling at these guys. But, and I said that he's a great guy.
Were you yelling? Because I didn't see that.
I wasn't yelling. He thought, you know, people think any opinion that's contrary to their own strong opinions is yelling, though. He called me a troll, basically. So, the abortion thing, I think it's neither here nor there, although I think it's a really bad idea to, when that deeply attached to a world-changing project, to I think you should not express vast opinions or not do them on the same channel, have a private channel and a work channel, or better yet, be Satoshi and have no one know what your ideas are about anything. And I really think that, like, but the him saying taxation is not theft and that it's good is, that's counter-ethical to the idea of Bitcoin. I mean, that guy should not be working on Bitcoin. That's like having, oh, I don't know, it's like having
Darth Vader,
California Democrat senator, you know, being your gun teacher or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty good analogy.
Being in control of your guns. Yeah.
I was thinking Darth Vader daycare, but, you know.
That's... There you go. Well, hey, you know, but he might actually care for some kids that were his, or some kids he could use for something.
Until he force chokes them.
All right, so let's read this thread. So he said that. He said abortion's bad and taxes are good. And who said what? I don't have it in front of me.
I got it. So abortion should be prosecuted like any other murder. However, that doesn't mean I am obliged to pay my taxes. And that's where you said, imagine if Satoshi hadn't been anonymous and had said taxation is good and abortion is murder, regardless of what anyone thinks about the second part. People now would be like, what's Bitcoin? And Luke Dash Jr. says, unlikely. Bitcoin took a long time to get decent interest. Also, note that AFAIK Satoshi never spoke out against taxation.
As far as I know.
Nor supported murder. And then there was Bitcoin
Lifeline.
Hang
on a sec, though. I had no idea he was going to reply or even see it. I mean, that's the weird thing about the internet and especially Twitter. Like, you know, I used to yell at rock stars and stuff when I was a kid, but they never yelled back. It's a weird world, man.
It is a weird world. So you want that Bitcoin Litecoin response? This is a different person.
When
says,
we get back from this trip to the market, meow. Work. Turn your feet up, brother.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So everyone out there who's polishing your bayonets, this is the Freedom Fiends. Take out your pocket constitution and your Black's Law book and write some pleadings and put things in all caps. Or is it don't put things in all caps? I forget.
One or the other. But either way, if you're sporting some hollow point bacon out there, some maybe Teflon-coated sausage pellets, whatever it is, consider what you're doing.
Teflon-pointed bacon tips.
Something like that.
Assault rifles shoot 400 magazines a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's a show topic we got to get to is Cody Will. When we get done with this, is Cody Wilson, like, Congress is moving to, like, ban him, and he's laughing at it. I like that guy.
He's got credible guns.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point there was a false flag where, like, even if there was a real unfalse flaggy mass murder, that they quickly disappeared the rifle and replaced it with a, you know, Cody Wilson ghost gun, just to say they did that. That's what happens. Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah,
I think.
All right. So I was yelling. So I was sitting around smoking some PCP. No, not really. Yelling at the guys who run Bitcoin. There's gonna be people going, "Oh, that explains it." No, I wasn't smoking PCP. So then, what did some Litecoin guy? I couldn't tell what side that guy was on. My side or the Bitcoin dev side? There's only two sides in this argument. So what'd he say? The Litecoin guy.
Regarding Satoshi being against tax, you know, not ever speaking out against taxation, that guy says, not directly, but I'd say the message in the Genesis block had an anti-tax tone. No?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Is the
Genesis block where the messages are in?
It was something about... It was something about quantitative. It was the headline in the newspaper that day, and it was the headline from like a British newspaper, which is part of the reason people think he's British. You know, the exact wording in the headline was like the London Times or something. It was something about, you know, some mega bank failing and quantitative easement number 9 or something coming out. You know, it's definitely a libertarian that only a libertarian would put in there. There'd be no reason to otherwise.
So that's where you say, Satoshi put a hidden in plain sight insult to banks, Fed, taxation, quantitative easing in the Bitcoin code. That means the Genesis block, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Luke Dash Jr. says, banks and taxation are unrelated things.
And that's ridiculous, because they are... Well, put it this way, theoretically, you could have a bank that's not related to taxation, but it would have to either be an illegal underground bank, or it would have to be an anonymous cryptocurrency bank, or it would have to be libertarian paradise has happened and governments are gone or just irrelevant, and there are banks that, you know, don't involve with governments. But governments, I mean, banks all do quantitative easing, and that's related to taxation. Not quantitative easing. What's the lending where they don't have all the money called? You'd know.
Oh, the fractional reserve.
Reserve, right. So for people that don't know, this is like Liberty 101. It's also Banking 101 and Economics 101. Fractional reserve banking is where the banks take your money and hold it for you and offer you a card, a little plastic card you can access it with. And if they give you, I mean, when I was a kid, like savings accounts had like 6% interest. And now they have like 0.002 or something. I mean, literally, we get a bank statement for a month and it says, you know, and there's several thousand dollars have gone through it, and at points, you know, there's been that much in there, and the you know, like waiting to pay rent checks and stir up what's it called, mortgage, yeah, rent when you own, I forget, mortgage to own it. We don't own a house, we own a mortgage. But you know, a good bit of money is in there at any given time waiting to be used. So they have a bunch of money. It's not money that we can spend because it's being spent, but we have money in the bank, and the interest for a month averages 2 cents for us, which is ridiculous. That's barely interest. But then they lend your money out now at like 6% compounded interest, which is, you know, almost approaching loan sharking, but not quite. And the way they can do that is they don't have all that money to lend out. They lend out way more than they have and invest way more than they have. And that's why when economies start to collapse, there are runs on banks, and they don't let everyone take their money out. They have armed guards, either private or military, like shooting people that try to get in. Like,
well, there's not even the money there anyways. They just digitally are given permission to create it. They're actually given permission to create 10 times the amount that they're actually holding. Actually, that amount is also
Federal
fictional.
Reserve. Yeah.
They don't even have to hold that anymore.
You know how this, like, really, I grokked this in an instant when I was about 21, when I was a bike messenger in San Francisco. You know, after I'd done it for a while and gotten good at it, like, I started to get better runs. And one of the runs was, like, instead of go from here to here, then here to here, and here to there, was, like, a morning run that every morning I'd have, like, a package that came on an airplane that had, like, 30 envelopes all going to banks within a four block radius. And that was so easy. They were all like hot rushes, zone one. I mean, I was making like $30 an hour during that hour and a half that I delivered those in the morning, which is great back then.
Nice.
And one time I opened one of them, and then I started opening them, and sometimes they weren't even in anything. Like, they were, you know, in a transparent envelope and I could see them, and they weren't sealed. They were just, I opened the envelope and looked in them, and they were lines of credit from one bank to another, and usually like banks in Europe with names like, you know, the First Bank of Amsterdam or something in French or something in the Cayman Islands. And they're all going to like Bank of America and Wells Fargo and Chemical Bank and other banks downtown in San Francisco in the financial district that were, you know, and it was all like immense, immense amounts. I mean, like 7 digits, 8 digits, 9 digits. 9 digits. It was up to like, is that 50 million? I mean, there were some that were like 100 million, and they were like loans for one day. You know, it said on them, like, you know, term of loan, you know, 72 hours or 48 hours or 24 hours or whatever, like a couple days loan. And just the thought to me of like, okay, this money doesn't exist. Because, and the thing that really got me is they were printed on tissue paper. It was like, it was barely thicker than a rolling paper, and it was blue. I mean, it looked like toilet paper. It looked like they were too cheap to even use a regular piece of paper to symbolize these millions of dollars. And it just blew my mind.
It just means so little to them.
I mean, I was risking my life, having the time of my life, for a little better minimum wage, but literally, like, I had friends that died doing that job, and every couple months somebody would die, you know, in that town doing that, or maybe once a year, but, you know, somebody would die often. And more than that, like 10 or 15 or 20 people would be horribly disfigured. And there's, you know, there was very little remuneration if that happened. Like, you were just stuck dying on welfare if that happened. So, yeah, holding those little pieces of toilet paper of one bank, like going nod, nod, wink, wink. Sure, here's a bunch of money. Pay it back when you can in a couple days at no interest. It explained it all to me right then.
So now we have some nice warm and fuzzy feelings for all the banking magnates who've contrived to create the system you just described, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about them too.
I hope they all have cancer.
And some of them might own some Ripple, the cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that's the Fed coin. Yeah. And, you know, you're not supposed to wish cancer on anybody, but I don't care.
You're not supposed to wish cancer on anyone. That's true.
I will. Why? You know what? There's another rule I want to talk about, because that's a social contract. My mother and my daughter died of cancer. I've earned the right to make fun of people with cancer. That just sounds so wrong, and that's going to end up in Fiends Out of Context. But, I mean, if somebody lives their life to laugh on the backs of others, and I would say bankers in America and in Europe, the people that are on the other end of those tissue paper, toilet paper money, they were too. I'm not saying that rich people are bad, but I'm saying that bankers are pretty evil, most of them. But though all those systems are set up in such a way that, like, nobody even knows they're evil, and no individual is really that evil. And it's kind of like the military, and that brings me to my other thing, and we're going to get back to this yelling at the Bitcoin guy, but I want to know why there's a social contract that says you can never ask a soldier or military person if they've killed somebody. Have you encountered that?
I haven't. I've never even tried to say that. I mean, I don't really hang out with a lot of vets, honestly, but I do have some clients and friends who are vets. Yeah.
Well, I would say ask them if they've ever killed anybody, but no, they're clients. But, and I'm not saying call someone a baby killer and spit on them. I'm just saying, like, why can't you, in earnest, in a kind way, ask them if they've ever killed somebody? I'll bet if that wasn't a social contract, there wouldn't be nearly as many people willing to join the military.
Because that's kind of part of podcasters who did, who said that they killed people, right?
Podcasters?
Yeah.
Or people, podcasters that I said killed people, like Will Coley. Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's the other way around, who like said that they signed up to the military, they actually killed people.
Oh, and who was that? If they said it, you should be able to say it. Go ahead and say it.
If they said it, but what if I'm wrong? What if I get it wrong?
Yeah, if you're wrong, don't say it. Don't say it.
So that's Larkin Rose,
right? It's Larkin Rose, right?
No, it was a tech show.
I'm kidding.
So,
who? Kokesh show.
It was a tech type show. You know?
Oh, I thought you said Kokesh show. Brian? You
know, something Brian? Tech. Yeah. Yeah.
Brian?
But I don't know if that's true.
Did he kill people?
I wonder.
Man.
I hope
I
not.
I don't think so.
For his sake.
I hope not.
I hope I'm wrong.
this is why they don't want you
now,
to do it.
Allegedly.
Because conversations like this will happen.
Yeah, and now he's going to record it, and now, you know, it'll be used against me. So
yep,
there we go.
Yep. All right, so...
I derailed you. Go back to it. You got
no.
It.
I derailed you.
You're driving.
Go. I'm done with the. I just want to say. I'm not saying go.
What's
bug
the social
vets.
Contract?
The social contract is you never ask anyone in the military or has been in the military if they've killed anybody. I mean, it's a. I've heard that 75 times in my life, starting when I was 6 and my sister's boyfriend just got back from being a Marine in the Vietnam War, and I asked him that, and she's like, oh, Michael, you never asked anyone that. And he looked, like, really disturbed. And I found out from her about 30 years later that he, well, she wouldn't say he did it, but she said that he was really damaged from the war. And I said, really? Like, what happened? And she's like, well, put it this way. There were guys in his unit that came home with, you know, ears as necklaces, human ears. So he probably did, too, maybe. I don't know. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We'll be back on the Lisa Fiends. After this trip to the
market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends returns. If you've been following this conversation perfectly and you have excellent show notes, please consider sending them to our actual Fiendtopia Facebook group.
Why? Because we don't know what we talked about? Is that what you're saying for the
That's
show
what
notes?
I'm saying is, you know, it,
I don't
it helps
care.
To have orderly.
I'm just going to say it's you and me and the Freedom Fiends. That's all they need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, although, I think we lost about 400 listeners today, which is about 10% of our listeners. So, except on radio, we didn't lose anyone on radio because they don't care. People on radio are just sitting around drinking and they'll listen to whatever's on. But we get in there. And they're really the only reason I'm on this show, on the radio instead of podcasting, because radio's a lot harder, is for, you know, reaching Alpha Centauri. And at one point soon, if I ever, like, if anyone ever cancels or something, I'm just going to play my new record on the radio so I can broadcast it to Alpha Centauri. Kind of like in Man Who Fell to Earth, he makes a record to communicate with his home planet, broadcast it on radio. Yeah.
That's a pretty wild movie.
It is a horrible movie. It should be great, man. I mean, yeah. It's got David Bowie, a man falling from Earth, super advanced technology, patents, intellectual property. What more do you need? I'm kidding. But, yeah, it's, you know, there's the Hubert Selby rule, man. You have to care what happens to characters, no matter how flawed and horrible they are. I just really didn't care. I care because it was David Bowie, and then I realized, well, yeah, but his character's horrible.
That makes a lot of sense.
His character didn't even care about himself. That's the problem.
I actually don't remember the movie except for as a child seeing parts of it being played, you know? That kind of
thing. Hey, I have a Rick and Morty spoiler that's funny, but we got to finish this. Do you know what's in that helmet he's always carrying around? It's got those, like, spines sticking out of it.
That's his almost every suicide episode. Helmet.
Yeah, it's full of shotgun shells pointing inward. But, yeah. You know.
I am very studied up on Rick and Morty.
Okay. Yeah. You know, a lot of people said to me, like, aren't you afraid of carrying a gun? Like, that you'll shoot yourself when you're depressed? First of all, I never really get depressed. I get angry and I get sad, but I never want to take my own life. You know what I said to someone in AA who wanted to kill himself when I was about a year sober, and I met this kid who was a month sober, and he wanted to kill himself. I said, son, if you kill yourself, you're killing the wrong people. and he said, like, 10 years later, I saw him, and he's like, you know what? That resentment kept me alive long enough to realize I didn't really want to kill other people. Thank you. You saved my life. All right, so let's read the rest of this. So the guy from Bitcoin said, but taxes are good. They help pay for roads and my salary to corrupt and break Bitcoin. Okay, go on. What did he say?
Well, he said banks and taxation are unrelated things. And you replied.
And he's a Catholic. Go ahead.
By the way, he's a Catholic. He's very Catholic on his, you can see that page.
You know what? If I said, now remember, he's a Jew, like, I'd get kicked off of the radio. Well, probably not the radio, but, you know, people hate me if I said, well, look, he's a Jew. But if I say, but he's a Catholic, everyone's like, uh-huh, yeah, even the Catholics. So
what,
go on.
Yeah, what's the relevance to that? Well, your response, LOLs, you praise the Lord with that mouth. Hashtag money changers in the temple. You know.
Yeah, I think he's a money changer in the temple, man. I'm tipping his table. I'm not Jesus, but, you know.
So at this point,
I hang out with whores and lepers. So go on.
Not to bury the lead, but Bitcoin has now become the way you buy your villa or your yacht or perhaps, you know, your, you know, series of
suicide helmets.
Or your suicide helmet or whatever it is. But you use other coins to buy coffee or small items.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I use my Bitcoin to buy other coins I can buy coffee with.
Right, exactly.
So let's finish. We got to finish this. There's like two more posts before we go out. Go ahead.
There's more posts?
Aren't there more?
I was like, I scrolled down.
Oh, they blocked me. You can't see it. Okay.
I can't see it.
It was just the thing
more.
About they quoted Randy England because the other guy was like, oh, well, I think that the Litecoin guy was kind of minarchist. I think he was kind of like, taxes aren't that good, right? You get that feeling?
Well, yeah, and we'll come back to explain.
Litecoin works.
What's the problem with taxes?
Litecoin, you could buy a cup of coffee. So, of course, he's a minarchist.
Well, with Litecoin, you could buy a couple of small nations.
I have. Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah. When we get back from this trip to the market, the fiendly departed.
Requiem for the fiendly departed.
We'll pour a 40 of Kratom on the ground for the fiendly departed. Kratom's all sold out. There's been a run on the Kratom banks, I've heard.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi. A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
This is the Freedom Fiends, secretly seditious sounds from massive fiend bone of liberty. We give you the crypto-perfected crack to strengthen your spine against the roving wiretaps of tyranny. Can you feel all that going on?
I like that. That was good. Is that new? Is that off the cuff?
It's true. It's right here, and it's alternately used. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we are back, listeners.
Yeah.
Hour two to go into Requiem for the Fiendly Departed. You want to take it away, Michael?
All right. So we lost 3 fiends this week and gained 2.
3.
Which is pretty good. Your girlfriend keeps sending me show notes. Emily, we have way too much show notes. We're not going to talk about that. Besides, Bill Hicks was a big old status man. Like most comedians, he almost got it right, but was like, you know, I mean, he'd say like, yeah, they're all out to get you and nothing's good and blah, 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 and big business and big banks and this and that. And we all have to vote Democrat to keep it from happening.
Okay, so, you know, if you make that kind of blunder, then that's an excuse for the CIA to implant pancreatic cancer into you, right?
Yeah. Well, the comedians they don't care about are the ones that are complete anarchists, because no one's going to go along with that hooey. I go along with that hooey, and I still think liberty is solid, but I have really, really been soured on libertarians lately. It's kind of like how I really like the Grateful Dead, but I don't like most deadheads, except Kevin McKernan, and John Vibes. But John Vibes isn't a real deadhead, because he's only seen the Dead in Company without Jerry Garcia. Kevin McKernan and I saw the Dead with Jer Bear back in the
day. I never saw the Dead. I never saw fish. But I went to college where fish formed.
Fish. You went to Bennington?
No, they formed in Goddard College in Plainfield, Vermont.
I thought it was Bennington for some reason.
They play there a lot because it's big.
Oh, yeah, and it's rich. Bennington's the rich one. The one you went to is the dirt hippie version of Bennington, right?
Oh, yeah, and also the super socialist one.
Not that you're a dirt hippie, but fish are. Yeah,
I didn't know what I was doing. I was 19.
I know. You know, I almost became a libertarian at 17. My first day of college... It's funny because one of the new fiends is Phil Warmoth, who I went to college with. He's one of the only people I've known that long that I still talk to, other than Harry Lardner, Skip Lunch, who's also my friend on Facebook and in real life. But Phil and I went to school, and he's a fiend now. We did a show the other day, and it was fabulous. And he's basically a libertarian, but doesn't care. He doesn't know it. Or he doesn't want to talk politics because he doesn't really know him. And I think we need more fiends like that. I really do. I'm fine with, you know, Lou dropping the mad science on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Someone's got to do it. But I don't want to talk about that stuff, man. I'm really sick of it. And I'm really tired of libertarians because a lot of them... Here's what I think. I think liberty is still solid, but I think a lot of libertarians are not real libertarians. People get upset when you say that. They yell, "No true Scotsman," because they heard it in college or read it on the blog. But I really think a lot of libertarians aren't true libertarians. What I mean by that is I think a lot of them fail at 3 things. One is making a living, and not even kicking butt at making a living, but making a living. And I think that, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say any bad.
No, wait. What was the other? Like, I want to hear all the libertarian complaints. Let them out.
The libertarian complaints are, you know, people who talk about the free market that can't make enough money to live. People that talk the main. This is the main one. People that talk incessantly about the basis of liberty being honoring contracts, which it is, and it being, you know, about property rights. So people who say it's all about honoring contracts and property rights who don't respect contracts and property rights. And I had that experience recently when there were two people that were freedom fiends that stopped doing shows. One quit and one just stopped doing shows. I'm not going to say who the one that stopped doing shows was. The one who quit was Lisa, the last show. She's quit twice now. And before she quit the first time, like, she had equipment of mine that I sent her to use and, you know, like suffered a little bit to send her. Like, it cost me money to ship to her, took effort to go to the post office, like, went out of my way to send her some equipment that she said she'd use. And then she used it once and never used it again. So, like, I consider that an unallocated resource that I own. And finally, I was like, you're not using that, like, a year later. And she's like, oh, no, you wanted me to use it? I'm like, duh. And I asked her to send it back promptly, and she was really snitty about it. And she later got fired for complaining a lot on the fiends. She's a good host. She's a good talker, but I should have left her fired. So basically, like, I like her as a person. I invited her back, you know, put down some ground rules. She agreed to them. And I lent her a laptop. It was a really nice laptop. It wasn't brand new, but it really kicked butt. And I did a lot of work getting it ready and stuff for her, like, you know, spent many hours working on it for her. And, you know, because she said she needed a computer because hers was having trouble. And I'm like, man.
And what happened?
So I sent it to her and I said, you can keep this even if you quit the fiends tomorrow. Because I felt sorry for her because she was having a bad, like, she's one of these people that constantly has an emergency. Something's constantly wrong. She's also one of these people that says, like, she's a financially successful woman, but, you know, she's getting alimony from her ex-husband. Not child support, alimony. I don't think that's really fiscally responsible, but she just has a lot of problems, and I really did feel sorry for her. And so I was like, you can keep this computer, man. You know, you need it more than I do, because she's a writer, makes her living writing, well, and getting alimony. But so I wanted to give her a computer to do her solid, and she's like, you know, I said, will you use it? And she said, absolutely. I said, well, I'll give it to you. And then this was by email. And then later the next day, we talked on the phone. And she said, you know, I really don't want to keep this. I want to, you know, borrow it, and I'll give it back if you ever need to. And I'm like, nah, you keep it. And she's like, I don't really feel right doing that. And I said, well, how about this? You can keep it with you as long as you use it regularly and don't quit the fiends, like, you know, immediately. Or it's quick, soon. And she's like, okay. So 3 weeks later, she quit the fiends, saying that she was too busy. But it turns out now it was because, you know, now that I can see everything that's on her page, it's because she thought I was becoming alt-right, which is complete crap. But I'm not a leftist libertarian like she and all her girlfriends that go, you go, girl. And all the boys that go, you're so wise and hot. Please do me, you know. So she quit the fiends, and I was like, well, I need that computer back. And she said, well, she had excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. You know, don't have money, can't make it to the FedEx place, I'm sick, don't have money, and busy and on a deadline. Just excuse after excuse. And finally, I was like, well, why don't you give it to John Vibes, who people don't know, that's another co-host of ours, and he's a great guy, and he's having problems with his computer, and it's slowly dying, and he's got a lot of expenses and medical problems. He's got cancer, and he's dealing with a lot of life problems. You didn't know that?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, yeah, wow. You didn't know he was a fiend? You didn't know
he had cancer? Well, I mean, yeah, I just, like the Fiend Digest of like today's in Fiend News. Here are your new Fiend co-host, and here are the Fiendly Departed.
Right. Like, I should do that. Should be like a stock ticker. I should add a thing to the Fiends app that has a stock ticker of who's been fired, who's quit, and who's come on as a Fiends that hour.
Yeah, so, that would be helpful because looking at coin prices.
A bunch of people biatched at me today because I was yelling at these people. So basically, like, people saying like, "Oh, you hate everybody." No, I don't. I've had Fiends that have been Fiends for 5 and 6 years, man. I have friends like Derek Slopey I've been doing projects with for 5 or 6 years. There's a lot. I have Phil Warmoth has been my friend for like 30 years. Skip Lunch has been my friend for 30 years. Or more, like 33 years. And it's not like it, but I do go through a lot of people, and it's because a lot of people are disappointing. And I have a lot of people very close to me working closely with me because I do a lot of big projects that involve a lot of people and don't make a lot of money. So I can't pay pros, and pros wouldn't really work. You know, if I hired like seasoned newsmen to do the Freedom Fiends, I mean, the closest is Nima Vedati, who actually went to journalism school and was a television, I almost said evangelist, a television news anchor, NBC News, CBS, ABC, ABC, and then NBC. But he was doing the Fiends because he hated his job because, you know, he had to like toe the state line. So he wasn't really one of those, but he was very pro in his delivery, and he sounded like a seasoned newsman, but not phony. Yeah. He sounded real. So
the delivery
here's the thing,
perfect.
Like when you have a lot of people in your life that you've asked to volunteer out of the crowd, like, you know, it'd be kind of like if you're in a band and you said, "Who plays guitar?" and pulled people out of the audience, like you're a Fiend fan, you know? And, you know, a lot of these people just don't work out. A lot of people are like, "I'd like to be on radio," but they don't like responsibility. They want to just yak and hear their own voice. A lot of them are just paraphrasing other libertarians. Like half of what came out of Lisa's mouth was just, I've heard it out of Jeffrey Tucker's mouth. I've heard it out of Stephen Molyneux's mouth before he went insane. And I'm not saying before he went alt-right. That was another like step in weirdness for him, but he went insane before that.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed after, well, that was a different subject.
What?
I asked him a question.
With what?
Vaccinations. Who? Stefan Molyneux.
Who? Oh.
And not very responsive, not very, very quickly dismissive, just, you know, it's like, really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so a lot of people probably got blocked. A lot of people I know probably got blocked today, but it was just shrapnel because you were standing too close to a communist. So if you're not a communist, you can like write me somewhere else and ask me to unblock you, and I will consider it in my infinite wisdom, or my
so
large.
There's not too many minutes left, but in the next segment, it's possible we could find out what are the things you can do as a co-host to stay a co-host, and what are the things you can do to.
Well, it's really simple. You know. Make my life easier, not harder. Show up on time. Don't cuss. Watch the clock, and be ready to catch. Like. Cal is a brilliant talker, but he's not yet ready to catch. Like every time Lou threw to him the other day, like, you know, 2 out of 3 times, Cal be like, "Oh, it dropped at my feet. Hang on, let me pick it up." But he's brilliant, and he's going to be a brilliant Fiend.
Yeah.
But, you know, being a good talker on the street or on YouTube videos does not necessarily immediately a good host make.
No, just watch The Onion. Man. Watch The Onion fake newscast and like how they like
don't
they,
do
they
that.
Pass to each other. It really helps.
No. Oh, that. Okay. Yeah, passing, catching, and pitching.
Yep.
That's I'm the catcher. Way. You're the pitcher.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Worms! Let's see, who was I complaining about? I can't even remember.
Libertarians that you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're problematic for you to interact with. So that's why I'm going to try to bring Michael to a new cult because, you know, since I'm a joiner in all these secret
cults. Not joining that thing. And, you know, I did confirm that, yes, the Bad Brains were into your particular cult. I thought I was remembering that wrong, but
the Bad Brains were in the Mankind Project. Hmm.
Yeah. Is that your thing? No, they were into that guy. They were into that writer.
The guy? What's his name? Oh, you mean Marshall Rosenberg for Nonviolent Communication? No.
No. The one that sounds like the rich guy but isn't. But, How to Win Friends? No. Who's
Oh, you mean Napoleon Hill and doing thing? Mastermind
Yes,
groups.
Yes. Yes, yeah. They were into that. Oh, you're into multiple cults now? I don't know. I can't keep track. There's 10 fiends. Yeah, man. They're all in 3 or 4 cults. So I can't keep track, man.
I kind of juggle between those, but I mean, the cult of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin is powerful, you know?
So yeah.
It takes up
So basically
time.
What happened was Lisa and another host who won't be named because I still kind of like him and I'm still trying to get my equipment back. And, you know, she was like, why did you bashed me after I brought the gear back? Yeah, because if I bashed you before, you never would have brought it back because you're petty. But... And she also said on her face beef, that she said, Michael blocked me as soon as I said that I was going to post screenshots proving he was wrong. I didn't see her say that. Everyone assumes it's about them and that people react to them. I was just blocking her. I was just sick of her. She's dumb, man. She's a dumb, dumb head.
What's the purpose of proving that you're right?
I know. And really, it's like anybody that's going to get into someone else's beef on the internet and read a bunch of screenshots. I know what she was going to post. She was going to post that I told her in an email, you can keep that computer. But she was not going to say that the next day on the phone, she'd said, I don't feel right about that. And I said, no. And she's like, seriously, I don't. And I'm like, okay, then how's this? If you don't quit the fiends right away, and you use the computer, you can keep it as long as those things are true. And she said, I agree. And she broke those things. So basically, libertarians break contracts. And then another guy who I'm not going to name because I still sort of like him, even though he told me today he'd never speak to him again, has had, you know, $300 worth of gear of mine for 2 months. You know, he's had it for years, but he quit. He hasn't done a show in 9 months. And 2 months ago, I'm like, okay, this is my thing with fiends. If you don't do a show for 6 months, I fire you. Because I don't want someone to be able to just not be involved at all and then just drop in like a pigeon and poop everywhere and leave, you know? You have to do at least one show a month to be a fiend, if not more. So, hear that, Diana Kyler? Do some shows. So,
this is a warning to the free fiends
loving,
co-host listening
reminder.
Out there.
Gentle, you know. Loving reminder.
Okay,
but so this other guy, had this equipment 2 months ago. I said, send it back to me, and he's like, yeah, okay. And then he never did. Like, you know, a week later, I'm like, hey, can you send it back to me? And for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, I said, hey, you can send it back. Then he stopped contacting me, and finally, I was like, hey, there's this guy in your town that I'm going to lend some of it. I'm going to give some of it to, and then because he's poor and wants to do something, and you know, I like the guy, and the person said, yes, I'll give it to him, and then never did it. And today I posted like 100 comments on Facebook and tagged him about him not honoring his contracts. And he blocked me on Facebook. He blocked me on Twitter. So basically, like, this guy owes me money, and he's blocking me, and I'm figuring I'm never going to get it back. So tonight I get an email from him, and he says, okay, I've left it at my house and told my roommate that your friend that lives in my town can come pick it up. He knows her. He knows when she'll be there. This friend doesn't have a car, by the way. So basically, take a bus over or a taxi you can't afford. Hope the roommate's going to be there. And, you know, then carry a bunch of crap on a bus. I mean, it's like 30, 40 pounds of stuff of electronic gear. So, you know, he didn't really solve it. He basically said something he could have said 2 months ago exactly that. And this guy would be enjoying the equipment now and I'd have some of it back, too. But instead, he's like basically like, okay, it's in a sack at a building. Somebody can come get it. And he also said,
a scavenger hunt for your friend.
Yeah.
To find it.
And then he said, or, you know, maybe Wednesday or Thursday I can bring it, but didn't leave any details. And then when I wrote him back and asked, oh, and he said he wasn't doing it as a favor for me. He was doing it as a favor for the other guy.
Well, that's making it explicit about, like, and I don't want to really help you.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to make your life harder,
he called the equipment my sovereign property, which was him making fun of me, you know, bringing libertarianism into this and saying he was violating contracts and not being a, you know, it's not even libertarianism, meow. It's being a decent human being is doing what you said. And the thing is, for any of these people, when they wanted this stuff, I went out of my way to get it to them the next day.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
You know, I want to talk about cell 411 before we talk about what's wrong with Lisa. And, you know, it's Radio 101 that you would never, ever do a live read about a product in the middle of talking about some personal beef. But I think cell 411 is the exception because Virgil really does not like flaky people. So I think this is okay. Not saying he co-signs it, but he did click like on some of these posts today. So
even people who hate the inventor of cell 411 can use cell 411 and protect themselves and their family.
I know. I wonder if there's any of these like people that hate me and him, like if they're deleting cell 411 and they're going to end up dying because, you know, they resent him. Ha ha.
Yep, that's what I do. When I hate the inventor of pepper spray, I just pepper spray my own eyeballs. You know?
Hey, guns were invented by the Chinese. I can't use them. Wait, sorry.
It's that
I like
simple.
The Chinese. They make cool
so
stuff.
So go back
I can
to cell 411. And how are
cell
you going to do
this? Cell 411 is a... this is the weirdest live read ever because it's in the middle of, like, you know, me reading my ninth step and my eighth step in AA to my sponsor, you. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
I'm just reading a list of my resentments. Cell 411 is a decentralized app that you can get for free on. And the decentralization is you and other people. You know, it's not like you can download the source code and make your own. That may be coming one day, but they're not there yet. And people always complain about that. Like, it's not, everything should be open source from day one. But you know what? If you have a vision for something, you make it. And then when it's the way you want it, you put the code out there, because otherwise you've got a bunch of little code monkeys tweaking with your vision, you know? And I really like Virgil's vision on cell 411. It's basically an app that's free for the two major platforms, iTunes and Android. Oh, tuck your mic down there if you're not chatting, because I'm hearing a lot of rain. So, but bring it back up to comment. So it's an app that you install on your phone, and you get a bunch of friends or family together to get it also. And then you create cells. You create these little groups of people that you can call with one button on cell 411 in an emergency or if you need them quickly. And there's different buttons for different things. There's a circle that has different parts of the buttons for, like, car broken down, being detained by police, being bullied. This is cool for being bullied. Think about this, too. Like, your kids at school... You know, if you live nearby the school, I'm just picturing, like, big lumbering rednecks answering cell 411 and triumphantly, you know, beating up the bully that's beating up their kid. I think that'd be awesome. And I could see video of it because you can, and I'm not saying don't try this at home. I am saying don't try this at home. But you can film video with cell 411 and it uploads it to your friends in your cell or your family, but at the same time also to cell 411 servers. So like if Antifa or the police or some other gang grab your phone and smash it, you still have the footage up to that point, or if they steal it, you know, they can't erase it is what I'm saying. So it's worth getting. It's pretty cool,
man.
It's an
excellent app. And so how do you do it?
Ride sharing. How do you get it or how do you use it?
Yeah, you just go to your app store, sell 411, yep. Put that into your search. Yep. That's basically it.
Go to the World Wide Web at https://google.play/4136821 4A_cell411. Did you get that?
And especially, I love the sounds of AOL. You've got.
Oh, you were making the modem sounds? Is that what that hiss was?
The modem sounds. Was trying to do that. Yeah.
No, it sounds more like a duck having sex in midair. You made it sound pretty nice, actually. It was not nice. We're talking about dial-up modems for people that don't know. I'll bet cell 411 would work over a dial-up modem. I mean, I don't think or over really slow internet. I don't know that the video would, but I'll bet the alerts would. They're SMS, I think. They don't take much text, much bandwidth.
So yeah. You can get it wherever you get apps and put it in your phone. It's really useful.
Here's
and then
a trick.
Have your friends do it.
Yeah. It's a network app. It doesn't do much by itself, although it actually would. Because you could film someone, if you had no one in your cell, you could still film someone and send it to cell 411 servers and you could get it later. You could also actually set up public cells. Like, you don't even have to know everyone in your cell. You can put it in patrol mode, which means you can have cells that are, you know, 5 mile wide, 10 mile radius, 20 mile radius, up to like 100, I think. I had one for a while, like Wyoming, there was one person joined my cell at one point. And I was like, oh, that? Ugh. But, you know,
my
if you live in a big city.
So,
yeah.
Seven people.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, you have one?
Yeah. So far, seven people.
There's seven people in your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood watch
on
cell 411.
I thought you lived in the jungle.
Oh, there's, like, in this park, there's 23,000 people. So
how many of them are on cell 411?
Not too many yet.
How many are in your cell?
They're like seven.
Oh. They're all actual neighbors.
Here.
I thought you, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, we can drive to each other. It's big, you know.
The only person I have here is my wife, and then everyone else is like, you know, people in other states, because that's how I roll. Because it's easier to, like, get rid of people that way. It's easier to block them if they can't come over to my house.
It is. It's much easier if you don't have to make a potluck dinner and go over there, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So, cell 411. Get it. It's great. All right. I want to talk about resentments more. So,
okay.
Well, there was another guy that is no longer a fiend. There's three fiends gone. Three down, two new ones. The other guy I like a lot. He's a good fiend, but he doesn't make my life easier. He makes it harder. Like, he's somebody who's more technically savvy than any fiend. He is a computer programmer, and he complained about his computer problems more than anyone else. And like, everybody else would have computer problems and be like, Michael, how do we solve this? And this guy like wouldn't ask for help and would just complain about Bill Gates eating up minutes that we could be solving the problem with. You know, I didn't dig it. So when he booked a bunch of shows the other day, I said, cool, man. And by the way, please don't complain about your computer problems and take up showtime and pregame time yelling about Bill Gates. You know, and I said, you know, master your computer, make it your biatch, cho-cho-cho-ch. And, you know, I'm not as smart as you, and I've done that with Windows. And he got really mad, you know. Basically, I was giving feedback and what I needed from him in a lighthearted way. And he got really mad and started yelling at me in email. And I said, hey, man, you're not making life easier. Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to go this way? And he's like, yes, and blah, blah, blah. And I finally said, I don't think this is working out. It's not you, it's me, but it's actually you.
So
that was the end of that.
Who besmirched whose honor?
Luckily, he doesn't own any equipment of mine. He actually owns like a 50-foot Cat 5 network cable I sent him, but it would cost more to mail back to me than it would cost me to buy another one, so he should keep it. Those are like $5 with like $7 postage somehow. Yeah.
Is that what my cable is? Because you got me one too. And by the way, I appreciate. Yeah, and I really appreciate earning it from you, by the way.
Yeah, you know. You've earned it. Oh, there you go. Yep.
And these awesome headphones, too. That's it.
Do you listen to music on the headphones? Are they good?
I watch movies which have music in them.
Cool.
You know? And
better than earbuds?
Oh, easier on the ear. Yeah. I do earbuds all the time. I'm
earbuds
like an earbud
physically
guy.
Hurt, too. Yeah.
They're
in your ear.
It's business. It's money. It's work.
Yeah.
It's life.
So I think I'm done talking about Lisa. Depends on how many more lies she tells about me. Because the thing you should know about me, anybody, is that I have a habit of getting, I don't know if obsessed is the word, but intrigued by a topic that is a person that I believe is wrong and making them like 20% of the show for about 30 days in a row. I've done it a lot. I don't think she's worth that much, but I'd do a week. It depends. I'm done if she's done. How's that?
That works.
I can see. Here's what I want to do, too. So I don't have a sock puppet. I have a friend that lets me team a viewer into their computer and read people who've blocked me. And I want to put that out there so Lisa can sit around wondering which one of her friends that is.
Wow. Okay, so team viewer... Since I don't want to let you bury any leads here, Team Viewer is a program. Team Viewer.
Yeah, right? Not teen. I did not say teen.
Team. T-E-A-M.
Team. Like we're all on the same team. Viewer.
Same team viewer. It's a program. And when you have Team Viewer installed, like I do, then and you give access, like sometimes I've done to Michael, he gets to look all around your computer.
I get to run your computer.
He gets to run it. He makes, but basically, he's a force of good for my computer. But for some
people,
Lisa
is deleting TeamViewer right now because she doesn't understand that I can't get in there.
It's
when she doesn't
not really
me.
There. That's not where he's seeing it from.
Yeah.
So someone else who's Lisa's friend is using this program, and Michael's able to go on.
Oh
and,
yeah, I'm not looking at her computer. I'm looking at someone
at
on her friends list who's saying yes, Michael. You can spy on your friends through my account because I love the Fiends and I would do anything for you. I would die for you. Yeah.
I love having a fan like that. I had a fan who sent me this computer that I'm on right now. You know?
Really? Who is that? Give a shout out.
Shout out to Tom. Awesome guy out there. Sent me this great computer still running.
Is this after you're on the Fiends?
Sorry?
After you're on the Fiends, he gave it to you?
This is way before 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I was just like rooting you on from over here.
Yeah. Well, he gave it to you because he knew that you're going to be on the Fiends one day.
And you I think it was because of that. It all comes back to the Freedom Fiends in the end. Yeah.
Everything does. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am all things to all men, and I am what is necessary. So let it be written. So let it be done.
So. We're going to come back to the redemption in the next segment. You know, I just wanted to do a pre-redemption redemption.
You do it, man. You do it.
Well, the pre-redemption redemption is...
Go ahead.
Like, how could... It's a question, Michael. How could me and everyone else make life more wonderful for you?
Well, I was actually thinking what to do about loaning equipment, and I've decided I'm never going to do it. And thank you for asking how you can better anticipate my needs. That's you know how you can do it? By asking a question like that and by taking it seriously. Pay attention.
I am doing both. I'm asking
the
question.
Here's the thing.
Somebody suggested
smart contracts for equipment loaning. But the thing is, that involves escrow. And if they had the escrow, they could afford the equipment. Whereas there's a new rule that if anyone on the Fiends that came Cal or after cusses, they have to leave the Fiends and pay me $200 within 24 hours. Cal's agreed.
I'll tell you what.
I like that.
I'll hold $200.
You'll be the escrow.
I'll hold the dollars in form of Ethereum and pass them on when the deal is done.
The less smart contract or some guy. Yeah, I'll do it if I feel like it.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
You're all a bunch of socialists. You know, I said today I posted on Facebook that there should be a podcast called The Ex-Fiends, and that they could actually have more hosts than the Fiends have now. Probably, or about the same. And Jeremy said there is such a podcast. It's called The Lulberts.
But even Jim Jesus
and Jim Babb were good about returning property, I gotta say. For anything else I have to say bad about them. Here's the thing, too, I didn't say before, is that a lot of people were like, Lisa's wonderful. How could you say horrible things about her? I didn't say horrible things about her, first of all. I said the truth, that she flaked on a responsibility and just didn't care about it, you know, and just looked at me like an annoyance for asking her to be proactive with getting this computer to me. And then, you know, when that wasn't happening, to my friend with cancer. And I'm not saying that like, oh, feel sorry for me, I'm trying to help a guy with cancer. I would give this to John Vibes if he didn't have cancer. John Vibes is a great guy. I've been his friend for about 5 years. I met him at Porkfest a long time ago, and he and I are mutual fans of each other, even though he's an inveterate liberal leftist anarchist. I still like the little guy. But the other thing is, like, a lot of people are like, how could you say horrible things about these people? First of all, that is a straw man. That is a red herring. I'm not saying horrible things. Second of all, a lot of people who don't really know somebody think they're a lot funner, more fun than they are. You know how, like, you'd go over to someone's house when you're a kid and you'd be like, man, your mom's great. And they'd be like, ugh, if she was your mom, you wouldn't say that. It's kind of like that. Like, I'm not saying Lisa's my mom. I'm saying there are people that are fun to have a beer with, but when you deal with them on a semi-regular basis over several years period and watch them flake and flake and be disappointing and flake, they're not so fun as they were when you just had a, you know, they're not so fun as they are looking from the outside and just sharing jokes about how, you know, how Trump is bad on the internet.
I have an expression for that. Those people are people that I want in, that I just don't want those people in my non-paying life. Like, I have clients, plenty of clients, and I can handle that because I know when I'm going to see them, and I generally figure out what I have to deal with, and we stay on topic, and then I know when I'm going to say goodbye, you know, that's the thing about clients.
So basically, if, well, you know,
yes, my non-paying life, I can handle that.
Lisa DeLascia wants to pay me $75 an hour, and we can leave, cut the hour at 10
off. Oh, you gotta up your rates, man. Gotta up your rates.
Well, $75 an hour is my rate for consulting for audio stuff. And people often write me and say, how do you do blah, blah, blah? And I'll answer one question free. Then they'll ask another. And I'll say, well, I'm a really busy guy. I charge $75 an hour, 1 hour minimum. And if you go over, and it's paid in advance. And if you go over an hour by 1 minute, it's charged for 2 hours. And I'll stop mid-sentence and have you pay me for the second hour before I'll finish the sentence at 1 hour. And they get mad at me. They're like, oh, you're a dick, man. Sorry. You know, you're an idiot. Like, you're not willing to work for free for me right now when I barely know you. You're a bad man.
So, this is the, you know, foreshadowing for the redemption. You see, the reality is,
It's all you.
There's all these people out there. No, there's all these people, besides the fact that, you know, Bitcoin Cash is up and that's good. And besides the fact we have two new Fiends co-hosts who are awesome, and that's good. But in general, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who are going to be accountable and work to be having integrity and demonstrate integrity. And I work to do that myself. But really, I do know a bunch of people and I can see the effect that it has on Michael. You can see that effect. Like, he has people in his life that are accountable, and they're right there for him right now. That's some redemption that everyone out there listening, you've got someone that you can count on, I hope, I'm going to say, if you're listening to the radio and you can afford a radio, you've got someone you can count on. How about that? What do you think?
Radios are pretty cheap, man. And also, you know, the Freedom Fiends, I raised money and took money out of my pocket to give them to people on the street. And two of the people that are no longer fiends went out and put them out on the street. And the third person was the guy that my equipment's supposed to go to. But, you know, so there are homeless people with radios that play the Freedom Fiends in Philly. All right. Yeah, well, I got some redemption. Tomorrow there'll be other fiends on, and they won't complain as much. And they'll just tell
Who's
you
on
the government's dumb. They'll tell you the government's dumb, and Democrats and Republicans are exactly the same. They'll tell you that. Who's on tomorrow? Jeremy and Diana.
Huh.
I guess Diana's on. I was like, yeah, you better book some shows. I think she did book some shows.
Michael, it's All really right. a pleasure to do the show with you tonight.
It is, man. I dig it. Go check out the Biptunia record on Amazon.
Yeah.
Biptunia. There's a, you can listen to free on the Fiend site over the top right. Worms.
Worms.
Thank you for your service. Been good. Been real good.
I am honored.
Mew.